WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Four years ago this week, on September 15th, 2001, Sonny Rollins, one of the greatest living jazz musicians, gave a concert in Boston that he wasn't sure he should give. It was only 4 days after the September 11th attacks. He was uncertain whether he or his audience was ready for a performance. And he had been uprooted, forced to evacuate his Manhattan apartment, which was near Ground Zero. Now that concert has been released on a CD called Without a Song, the 9/11 concert. Jazz critic Francis Davis wrote, "Why am I so wild about Without a Song? First, no recording since his RCAs in the 60s has more faithfully captured Rollins' sound. Then, too, maybe I'm responding to the emotionalism of the occasion, just as Rollins and the Boston audience did." I spoke to Sonny Rollins about his 9/11 concert and about his own experiences on September 11th. When the first tower was hit, he left his apartment, which was 6 blocks north of the World Trade Center, to see what had happened. He stood there watching until the second tower fell, and then he returned to his apartment.
We couldn't leave the area. No one could really leave the area. And there were a lot of emergency vehicles, of course, there. So I went back up to my apartment and called up my wife. And at that point, the phones were still working, lights were still on and everything. And I was even stupid enough to take out my horn and start playing, you know, practicing sort of, you know.
What was stupid about that?
Well, it was stupid because there was so much toxic fumes and everything. And I did feel a certain stomach ache. So, and that actually was why I stopped. But I still hadn't brought the two things together, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine when you're playing, you take really big breaths.
Sure, sure.
Now, I know your building was evacuated by the National Guard. At what point did the National Guard come by and tell you you had to get out?
Well, the next day. Now, that later that day, the lights went, the phone went, all of the things like that went. And so the National Guard at that time came by to the people that were still left in my building and came by to our apartments and said, okay, everybody's got to go. So I picked up my horn and I got my briefcase and we made our way down the stairwell in the dark to the street, you know.
So you're on the 39th floor.
Right. And so that was sort of rough. And I think there was three other people. It was another kid who was the son of a woman on the floor and another woman. So we were the only people, I think, left in the building.
Did you ever return to your apartment?
I did return to my apartment on a regular basis, but I never slept in my apartment again.
Why not?
But I would go down there to get things out, you know, and I had certain things there that I felt I would like to try to salvage. But most of the things in there I had to eventually throw away, get taken away. You know, I had left my piano there, which was very sentimental to me. A lot of the guys played on that. Monk used to play on it. All people that came by to my house. And I lost a lot of clothes that I had there. I lost a lot of books.
Why did you leave your piano behind?
Well, because I was so afraid of the fact that toxic material might have gotten into the mechanism of the piano. And I know that some people in that Tribeca area had found these problems. When they examined the air ducts and everything in their buildings, they found a lot of material which had to be cleaned. So I was afraid that I would be handling something of that sort.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what happened to your piano?
No, I don't. I don't.
Did you give that to the trash room, or what did you do with it?
Well, the piano, I tried to give it to the Salvation Army, but then I also thought that they would have to have a long explanation about what had happened. In fact, I did talk to them. So I ended up leaving it in the apartment and explaining to the people in the apartment. Of course, they knew that what had happened. So mm-hmm. I was hoping that they would be able to handle it and take care of it in the proper way. You know, I hope so, you know.
Well, after you were evacuated from your building on September 12th, you drove to Boston, where you were scheduled to play on September 15th. So many events were canceled in the days after September 11th. Did you speak to the producers at that event and have a long talk about whether you should go on with the show or not?
Well, I spoke to my wife, Lucille, and I was all for not doing the show because I was really very unsteady on my feet. And
did that have to do in part with having walked down 39 flights of stairs?
Right, right. It did. And also, you know, I was just really shook up. So I wanted to cancel it. But you know my wife, Lucille, and Lucille was a person that never wanted to violate a contract in any way. And she also may have had a feeling that it would be important to do a concert at that particular time. You know, so anyway, she convinced me to play the concert.
Well, we've heard some of Without a Song, so I thought I'd play another track from your new CD, Without a Song, the 9/11 concert. And this is A Nightingale Sang in Berkeley Square. It's a beautiful version of it. And how did you first hear this song?
Well, you know, A Nightingale Sang in Berkeley Square, I guess I heard it during the 40s when I used to see all the movies that came in town every week. And it's funny that Nightingale Sang in Berkeley Square may have had some connection to World War II. And the scene when I was evacuated and I walked down those steps that day, when I came downstairs, it was very reminiscent of those World War II pictures when there was the Blitz of London with all of the emergency vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was a fan, and the smoke and the fumes. I mean, it was really something that, of course, I don't want to go through it again, but it was something that I guess I'm fortunate that I got out. But I guess it's something I'm trying to say, that it's stored someplace in my mind. So I guess since I'm still alive, I might have a way to turn it into some kind of a positive experience.
Well, here's Sonny Rollins from his new CD, Without a Song, the 9/11 concert. That's a Nightingale Sang in Berkeley Square from Sonny Rollins' new CD, Without a Song, the 9/11 concert. We'll talk more with Rollins after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is tenor saxophonist Sonny Rollins. His new CD is called Without a Song, the 9/11 concert. It was recorded in Boston 4 days after the attacks. Your wife Lucille died late last year in 2004 after a stroke. You were married how many years?
Well, I get confused myself, but we started living together back in probably around 1958, something like that. And we were married a few years later. So you can do the math.
Your wife was your manager as well as your wife. She looked after your career. How did she end up doing that?
Well, you know, my wife was a very brilliant, a very intelligent, a very smart woman. She was actually working in the physics department at the University of Chicago and also at NYU in New York. And she was, in effect, running a lot of those physics departments. But at any rate, she was a person that was very much interested in the music and in seeing me be presented right and being happy and so on and so forth.
What are some of the things she would insist on? What was presenting you right, and what were some of the things she wouldn't stand for?
Things such as... Well, I would say proper dressing rooms, mm-hmm. Proper billing, so that I would be billed in the proper way. And we tried to we stopped working nightclubs because we wanted to try to do more prestigious type engagements, and we started doing concerts and only. And as a matter of fact, my wife got the nickname of Mrs. No, because and the promoters and And the booking people, they always knew that they couldn't just come to Sonny Rollins and offer something that they might feel they could, they would like me to do, but I just wouldn't do everything.
How did you meet your wife?
Well, actually, I was playing in Chicago and in the 50s, and my wife was a jazz fan, and she was a friend of a bass player, actually, that was in my band for a while. And they used to come, her and this lady, wife, the wife of this bass player, they used to come frequent clubs from time to time. And she saw me and she said, I'm taking this from her words, that, you know, well, then she saw me and she said, well, that's the guy, you know. So then, you know how it goes. When a woman says that's the guy, they usually make sure that they get that guy.
Uh-huh.
So,
did she pursue you?
You know, in a sense, yeah. Yeah. You know, in a very, very...
modest and subtle way.
Yeah, you know, very dignified. And eventually I succumbed, you know.
Sonny Rollins' new CD is called Without a Song, the 9/11 Concert. You can hear music from it on our website, freshair.npr.org.